this podcast is now and always will be to help you break in and thrive in the marketing communications industry. And we do this by interviewing exciting people that made it on the other side and have great jobs and great stories. I've interviewed around 100 people, and their roles vary from CEO to current students. And today, we get to hear and learn from someone who recently broke into her dream role. Mariel Kalara is our guest today, and she recently broke into Droga5 as a junior brand strategist. Mariel is a fan of this podcast and listened to it throughout her break-in journey. So, if you're a fan and break in, reach out and let's get your story told. And Droga5 is one of my favorite agencies today. I visited their office pre-COVID when I was at the University of Illinois, and I'm still crazy about their space, and I'm still crazy about their creative work. And Mariel will tell you how she broke into Droga5. It's a story of networking, persistence, and staying optimistic even at those seemingly low points in your break-in journey. Her ambition will inspire you, I guarantee it. And what's great is that Mariel is willing to connect and help you out if you aspire to become a brand strategist. So head over to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod to connect with her and see her recommended resources tailored just for you. And before we start, this episode is supported by Chicago Portfolio School. The one-year portfolio school option has helped thousands of people break into excellent agencies. And many of the classes are virtual, so you don't have to live in Chicago to attend. And it gets pretty cold here, so that's a plus. Learn more about them at chicagoportfolio.com. Yeah. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have Mariel Kalara on this episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. Mariel, thank you so much for coming on. This is our second time recording, so I appreciate you taking the time again. So it's two recordings means, you know, this you've had some training. You know what's going on, so this one will be good. On audio end, there was audio issues on the last one from my fault. So thank you again for coming on. How are you doing today?
Good, I'm good. You would think that I would know what I'm doing the second time, and I hope I do. So yes, happy to be here as always. You know I'm a fan of the podcast.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on. Yeah, you reached out to me a while ago, and you were a listener. You might not be a listener anymore because you already broke in, which is fine, yeah. But... we want to get people to be like you and to break in. And you are currently, you are a junior brand strategist at Droga5, which is a great agency that I visited when I was an undergrad and was blown away by. And it's just such a cool environment. So we're going to dive into like the whole thing is who you are, how you got to Droga5, which is a top tier agency, and advice you have for our aspiring advertisers or people that recently broke in as well. So let's just kick it off with who you are and what you do. Tell us about yourself.
Yes, of course. So as you mentioned, I'm a junior brand strategist at Droga. I just started this past November, so still getting used to things. But I was an intern with them this past summer, so it feels like I've been with them since June. You know, a lot of my day-to-day, I can't speak explicitly about the clients that I'm working on right now, unfortunately, but I can speak about the one this past summer. But really, whether it's my past internship or how I'm what I'm working on right now, they're not very different. It's a lot of mastering the craft of a competitive audit, taking a stab at looking at how our competitors are doing at various categories and understanding their branding, their positioning, their messaging, and what how helping our clients finding the white space for them. It's a lot of pulling examples of cool things that brands have done. It's a lot of finding trends and pulling trends. A lot of doing that stuff. And I feel like as a junior, right now, I'm doing the best that I can to observe everything and understand like the agency processes and my role and where my shortcomings are, where my strengths are, and just like building skills. But But yeah, it's a lot of stuff, and it feels very like surface level job description things, and I can't talk about my clients right now, but
well, let's talk about things we can talk about. So like what would you say, like, for anybody that's aspiring to be a junior brand strategist, what are some necessary skills or the mindset that you need to have to be successful in this position?
Yeah, for sure. I think, let's see. I think something that's really important is just like having a passion and curiosity for brands, and just like really enthusiastic about their storytelling, because what I'm doing on the day to day is just like my strategy director will be like, hey, like, has there been a brand that's been leading the sustainability or a brand that's talking about luxury in a different way? And you know, my role is to like try to answer those questions and provide examples, and you know, when you're personally really passionate about brands, you might just have some at the top of your head, or you just have that curiosity to go and like look up some as well. And so I feel like that's a really like a big part of what I do on the day to day. And I feel like writing is also a really important skill as well that I'm trying to get better at. That's another important part of being a strategist. And yeah, there are a ton of other ones too, but those two are standing out to me right now.
Love that. Love that. And tell us about Droga5, because it's, you know, highly awarded. People recognize the name Droga5, or they should. If you're just learning out what this industry is, Droga5 should be at the top of your list. So tell us, like, what's it like working there, and what's the culture truly like? Is it about the creativity? Is it about data? What drives the engine that is Droga5?
Yeah, I definitely applied to Droga because I was excited about the way that they do strategy. It's very like structured. They have three strategy departments: data strategy, communication strategy, and brand strategy, and they work together. They collaborate a lot, very collaborative, for across all of our accounts. And yeah, so I feel like they are driven by creativity and really cool things. Like, our creative teams are top notch, and like, it's just, the people that I meet are all very excited and inspired by the work that comes out of Droga. And I think in a way that it kind of pushes all of us to like think of like the coolest things, or just like be really curious and stuff. So there is that like spirit of creativity. But I feel like for me as an aspiring strategist, definitely wanted to come and learn how they do strategy specifically, and brand strategy, and it just seemed like a really good place to learn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anybody that you work with or work maybe that you report to or is higher up that you really respect and love what they're doing that you want to give a shout out?
Oh my gosh. See, there's so many cool people that I work with at Droga and I'm still meeting. Oh God, there's so many. Like Gideon, I worked with him on Mattress Firm. There's literally so many people, but I think that speaks to the level of mentorship, and like I really feel like I'm receiving that. And they
so
like
Gideon, shout out to Gideon. Anybody else?
Go Gideon, go Sarah, go there's
like probably 100 Sarahs that work there.
Yeah. There's a lot, and you know, some of them I met through my internship, but some of them I just like reached out to and then they became my mentors. So it's like there are so many people that were really cool, and they walk me through how to do things, and they don't just like, it's not just task and task and task, which you have to be careful because sometimes it feels like that, but no, they like take the time to answer all my dumb questions and explain things really well.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I mean, you're going to find great people at great agencies, because you don't have a great agency without great people. It has to start with the people.
Yeah.
So that is very interesting. Anything else that you might want to tell somebody that has never heard of Droga, or some fun fact, something interesting that we don't know about the agency that you really like?
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know, maybe this is common knowledge, but people know that it was recently acquired by Accenture. So like Droga is going through that. It has been going through that change. And for the most part, I feel like it hasn't, I haven't felt like it's like more corporate or more annoying in any way. Like it feels still like the creative agency Droga that it was. And if anything, I feel like Accenture just provides a lot of resources.
Yeah.
And then we can make our research sharper and have a lot of money to do different things for research.
Sure. So. You have a bunch of financial backing. It's an entity that is large without a doubt by revenue and by, you know, all sheer resources, like you said. And this was really interesting because this was a couple years ago now. I mean, this had to be over 2 years ago. I'm not sure exactly the date. Yeah. I remember when this happened, it was a pretty big deal and I was super interested in it. And I remember kind of early on in the acquisition, we visited and I was sitting in the conference room in the front. I don't know where it is actually. I don't act like I know, but I was sitting in this conference room and I asked, like, I raised my hand, like, so are you afraid that the agency is going to like lose its creative, creativity? Is it going to lose its creativity being acquired by Accenture? And the recruiter / presenter at the time, I forgot who it was like, nope. He just cut me off right in the middle of the show. Nope, not worried. And I wasn't sure, like, you know, I was kind of worried. I mean, I would be worried. But she nipped it right there. And it seems like that has not been an issue in any way, shape, or form. And a lot of agencies get acquired. And they get acquired by holding companies like Omnicom, IPG, Publicis. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, these holding companies respect the creativity. They're buying the company because it is who they are. They are creative, and they need that in their and their weaponry. I don't know.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. So I don't know. It's my personal experience so far. It's been good. And I do want to say that another thing that I really like about Droga is like, I feel supported too, in terms of like diversity and inclusivity. There have been so many, I'm a Filipino American and I have met other Filipino strategists too. And I've like worked with other like Asian strategists and other perspectives as well. And so I feel like it's just like so nice to be able to work with lots of different types of people that come from so many perspectives. And the affinity groups, which are like the employee resource groups, have done some really cool things as well. And so being able to like, yeah, I can't, obviously we all know how important that is, but I definitely feel that at Droga.
Love that. Right. All right. Let's kick it back to how you got there, because we covered it pretty well. And yes. And you can't talk about current clients, any Super Bowl. You can't bring anything up like that, right?
No, unfortunately.
Okay. Boring. But
fired.
Yeah, don't get fired. It's breaking and entering. We don't want anybody getting fired. The opposite goal of this podcast. So. Let's kick it back. You graduated from UT Austin, and you did not study advertising, if I remember correctly, from a week ago when we last talked. So what did you study at UT Austin, a pretty well-known advertising school?
Yes, good point. I studied communication and leadership, and then I minored in Italian. And before that, I was undeclared, so I didn't know what I was doing for a while.
Yeah, why did you study Italian?
I just had a really cool professor come into one of our undeclared club meetings, and he just made it seem really fascinating to learn about the Italian culture, and he seems like he'd be a really cool teacher, so I went for it. And yeah, no regrets. Like, it was just like my, I feel like it was my like escape outside of like communication and other things. Just so cool to learn a different language and a culture, and I feel like foreshadowing kind of some of the things I did learning a new language are some of the things that I do now as a strategist as well.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I think that's, it goes to show, to be in advertising, there's no set major.
Yeah.
Your narrative is your narrative, and you can always apply that for this industry, whether that's photography, learning German, telling your story, and connecting with people. I mean, you can study a wide variety of things.
Yeah. So
my question to you is, when you were in undergrad, what was the defining moment where you're like, okay, I want to work at an ad agency?
Yeah, it was. So I was still undeclared at the time. I was interning. Unfortunately, it was unpaid, but it was my very first internship that I found at some random job site on
what year?
Sophomore.
Sophomore year going, sophomore summer going into junior year.
Yeah, it was in the fall actually. So like my first semester as a sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that to do it while you're studying. But what was your experience like in the fall while you were still going to class?
It was, you know, tricky to balance, but it was okay. Because my internship was really cool and flexible. I was a music design intern. So it was with a company in Austin. And I was helping music designers create playlists for inside stores and restaurants like Chick-fil-A and Vera Bradley. So it was really cool because I was just like on Spotify making playlists all day. And I was like, is this real?
It is nice.
But I realized I'm not a big music geek. Like I don't have an encyclopedia knowledge of all of the songs that ever existed ever. Even though I do love like making Spotify playlists, what I did realize is that I loved the brand storytelling aspect of it and understanding what, like why this music resonates with certain people that come into the store and how that reflects the brand and
like personas. You probably had to think about like who's our persona, who's coming in, who's our target, and what do they listen to, why do they listen to it, when do they listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just started thinking to myself, okay, I'm undeclared, I've been thinking a lot about what I'm going to major in, what my career is going to be. I do like this. Is this a career / major? And that's kind of like how I found advertising. As well, another intern that was there was an advertising major too. So just kind of like talking to her and learning like this about the ad program at UT and what other programs existed. So I applied to the UT New York internship program, which was brand spanking new at the time.
UT New York internship. Gotcha.
So yeah.
What was that? Like a semester away? What summer? Exactly.
A semester away, and their first semester was going to be a year from then, which was in the fall. So I was interning at the fall at the music design place, applying for it in a year from now. And so it was competitive. I was stressing, but I got in. And
what was the application like? Essays, any video submissions, what, anything in person, or was it standard essays?
No, it was just like a YUT New York essay and a resume.
Yeah, those are tough.
Yeah.
I suck at essays.
Writing.
I don't have the patience to write that. I'd rather talk to somebody. Give me an interview.
Exactly. Luckily I got in. And then it was at the time, like it was just a matter of grinding to figure out what internship I'm going to do through kind of like the program was so new. So I feel like now it's been so many semesters, they have a more robust like career support for helping like those candidates like find internships in New York.
Sure. But
at the time it was basically like I applied and so I will basically like be a UT student and like there's like a whole UT experience that's going to be happening in New York, but figuring out which internship you're going to do, that's kind of like up to you and interview is up to you. And so
what'd you pick?
It was really daunting. So I ended up interning as a social media intern at McCann Health and then also at Sony Music, which is crazy.
What do you mean also?
I did two internships at the same time, which is crazy. But
then where are you going? What about class? Was there any class in this?
Class was online, but like my internships were also class credit. So it was like forgot what the hour is, but eventually I was only taking like two classes outside of my internships or three, and they were online. And so I just did those like at night, and they were like pretty easy too. So because the focus is mostly
the experience. Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. So you had two internships. Wow. And were you getting any money for those? I'm just curious myself.
I did.
Good. You need that. I mean, especially if you're in New York.
If you're in New York.
Yeah. So you had two internships. Which one did you like better?
No, don't answer that. Which one?
I could.
Okay, do it. As long as you don't get in trouble with them.
Yeah, well, they were both great. Like, they both gave me a lot of exposure. I just personally liked, I don't know. I feel like I didn't really like either of them. If that makes sense. Because they both made me realize, like, I didn't want to do social media and I didn't want to work in the music industry.
That's what an internship is all about, though. Like, yeah. If an internship tells you, I don't want to do this, it's just as successful as saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they're there for.
Yeah, so I liked both of them because I didn't like both of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm following.
But it was a grind to get them. And, like, well, for Sony, I lucked out because they just had a video application and I guess I made a really cool video. So I ended up moving forward with Sony. But with McCann Health, that was like, I had zero contacts in the industry and and I just saw like a really cool picture of McCann's office, like on the floor or something. So I was just like, that's the one, like, that's the one I want to apply for and get an internship with. Luckily, I had a middle school. This is really random, but I had a middle school teacher that used to live in New York, and I went to a really small middle school, so we are like close. It was like a Catholic middle school. They had like an ACE program with Notre Dame, so like our teachers are like 23, and you're just like really close in age. And like, no, well, I'm not 23, obviously, when I was in middle school, but they're really cool teachers, and I was still connected with them. And my middle school teacher, I asked him, like, hey, I know you're from New York. Like, do you know anyone that works in marketing in New York? And he connected me with someone that worked at Colgate. He works at Colgate now, but he used to work in advertising.
Wow, this is an insane connection story here.
Yeah, so I talked to his friend, and his friend is the person that, like, literally gave me the rundown on, like, what marketing and advertising is. And
you went to your middle school teacher. You're at one of the best, if not the best, undergraduate advertising school in the country, where there's professors and lecturers. Well, this is interesting. Let's break this down for a second. You're at this great school with lecturers, professors of practice, people, industry comes in all the time. But you still, I mean, networking is crazy. You reached out to somebody that was your old middle school teacher.
Yeah.
And they connect. So it doesn't matter where you're at. Sometimes go and shoot your shot and connect, and they'll help you out.
Yeah, because, well, I wasn't in the advertising program, so I didn't really have that close connection to, like, professors or things. So I feel like maybe if you are an ad major, definitely leverage those.
But if you're paying tuition at a university and a lot of money, probably, I mean, you have the right, and you can go cross boundaries. If I want to go into business school and ask somebody, like, you have the right and the responsibility to go in and say, hey, I'm not even in this college, but, you know, I'm still a Longhorn.
That's true.
Like, you got to help me out because I'm paying your salary, type thing.
That's true. So to the people listening, reach out to whoever you want if you're passionate about it. So I was scared, and I feel like maybe it's been a journey of me getting like more and more courageous with reaching out to people. So I just reached out. It started with the middle school teacher. Mm-hmm. But
now you're on a podcast.
Now I'm on a podcast. I feel like when I spoke with his friend was nice enough to tell me, I have like three other friends that work in advertising. One is a strategist at McCann. And he's like, I can connect you with them if you want. And I think I was just, that moment was like very pivotal for me, because I just felt like, wow, he's like so nice to do that for me. It just like really inspired me to like pay it back by making the most out of those conversations and like following up with him and being like, thank you, they went well. And that conversation I had with the strategist at McCann, she's the one that like introduced me to strategy and introduced me to the recruiter at McCann and kind of got the ball rolling in terms of when I was applying for the internship at McCann Health.
Gotcha. It all works out, and you took it very seriously, and you were really grateful for that, and it showed, I'm sure, in those conversations, and that made you, they saw that you're serious and you're passionate, so that's really important too.
Yeah, I even did like a I even did like a mini pitch for McCann, for the McCann recruiter as well, because I just really, really wanted it. And
what did the pitch consist of? What were you pitching?
So basically, I felt like McCann and most agencies only do summer internships, and here I was trying to find like a fall internship with McCann. I was kind of just like, okay, well, what would my own internship kind of look like? And I did this thing where I reached out to all of the current like summer interns, because at this time it was like summer and I was looking for the fall internship. And I reached out to all of them and I like asked them what they did at their internship, like what they like about McCann and all of these things. And I put together a pitch about like why me, why McCann, and like what it could look like if I worked there and all of these things. And like at the end of the day, they didn't end up having like they couldn't do a McCann internship in the fall, but the stars aligned for me for some reason, because there ended up just being this fall internship at McCann Health, which is like the pharma mm-hmm. part of the McCann network. And they were like nice enough to like entertain the idea of me giving a pitch, and like then they like listened to that and they really liked it, and they just like kept me in mind. So that by the time that I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, I just reached out to the recruiters that I've already been like poking for throughout the whole summer, that they just like happily passed my information along to the recruiter for McCann Health. And so it was a grind is the story, but yeah.
You came in prepared.
Yeah. When you're passionate about something, I feel like it's like a little bit of, it's a lot of hard work, but and a little bit of luck, but it does end up working out.
I love that. So how did you get to Droga5 from here?
So I met a lot of people when I was in New York. This was pre-pandemic, fall of 2019. Some of them, like you, I toured the Droga office. I met some strategists there. I learned as much as I could about strategy. And while I was there in New York, I was thinking to myself, man, like I really, when I graduate, I just want to come back and work in New York and work in strategy. So like that's the goal. And I came back to Austin to finish like my college, and the pandemic happened, and you know, it's like, oh my god, what's gonna happen now? We just keep going, I guess. Internships getting canceled. Luckily I was able to apply for this like a smaller agency was doing an internship the next summer, and luckily they didn't cancel it. So again, the grind, apply, got that one. Just like another internship, but another grind, another experience that you have to be able to factor in and communicate every time that you apply for a new internship, and you're building out your story. And so that after that internship, approaching graduation, approaching time to apply for Droga's internship, I did something called Coffee at a Distance through We Are Next. I feel like your audience is already super familiar with We Are Next.
No, go ahead. Give it a plug. What was it?
It was the Coffee at a Distance, which is their networking kind of like coffee chats that kind of, I think it started during the pandemic, but I reached out to someone who was working at Droga, and we had a conversation that spring, and we just really hit it off. And she was like, when you apply for the internship program, just let me know and I could refer you. It was just like so sweet. I never go into those conversations like transactionally thinking at the end of this, I want her to refer me. Like I just do my best to genuinely get to know someone and see where it goes. And if it works out, it works out. And luckily right. It did. Luckily she liked me. So when I did apply, I sent her like my application in an email, and I was like, hey, like I'm doing the thing and I'm really excited, and here's all of my stuff. Let me know if you have any questions.
Yep.
And she pushed my information forward, and the recruiter got back to me, and we went through three nerve-wracking interviews. Mm-hmm. And then I got it. I remember being so stressed, like so stressed during that whole period, but it ended up working out. And so it's like, yeah, I don't know. I've met all those people in New York and did all those crazy internships, but, and like, it just like, you never really know. You just try your best in doing all of the different things. And it can take one conversation with someone that happened like recently to yeah. the plug. And so, yeah, I don't know. Looking at it, it might not make sense, but it just worked out. We just really connected and, you know, obviously maybe we connected because of the things that I did. And so, you know, yeah, I think all of it was just like a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I'm getting at here is that you put yourself out there quite a bit. And the five internships you've had, is it five accurate? I think I count that on LinkedIn.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Somewhere around there, which is unheard of, but it shows that like you're not afraid to put yourself out there. You have the conversations, you apply to the job,
mm-hmm.
and you meet people. And that just gets your foot in the door wherever it may be. You don't know where sometimes when you're doing all these yeah, networking, you don't know what's going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you did it and you landed it and you got the internship. So that's how you got your full-time job, right? You had the internship, you went full-time. That was the case, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I got the internship, but then at the end of it, they didn't have an opening. So I was very sad. Understanding that I did my best. So at the end of the day, I was okay. I wasn't super emo or anything. Like I knew I did my best. It was just unfortunate. And then
it's a 3-month internship, right?
Huh?
3-month internship, right?
Yeah. 3-month internship. And didn't get it at the end, but I learned so much and met so many people that I like stayed connected with them.
Right.
So by the time that I like reconnected, like a few months later, they told me that there was a role at the end of the day or like there, okay. a role opened up. And so was able to.
Well, that's incredible. I'm a sore loser and I'm emotional and I probably would have went on like a hate streak and would have blogged about it. I mean, I'm an emotional guy. I get jealous and stuff like that. And I'm working on it, but
I mean, I went like full transparency. I went to a rage room with my boyfriend and my younger sister. Like after all of that, like I was so upset.
It's a rage room.
You don't know. It's like,
I think I do. I want you to explain it to the audience.
It's a room where you break stuff. I've never seen anyone
like glass and stuff they give you.
Yeah, but like so many miscellaneous items too. My boyfriend like tore apart a Keurig with a baseball bat, and I've never seen that before.
That's delightful.
So I went through all of that, and it was really crazy and emotional, and I was angry and upset. But you know. Things like that happen all the time, especially.
You didn't burn a bridge. You didn't sell on the F off.
No.
I think I might. I've gotten close. I don't think I've ever done that, but yeah. I mean, you didn't burn any bridges, right? And you had good relationships with the people that you worked with. You tried your best. They liked you enough to call you back, obviously. So that's a really good lesson there as well.
Yeah.
How happy were you when they called you back?
Oh man, I was like happy, but also in denial. Like I didn't really believe it until maybe like a week into my job. Like, oh, okay, this is real.
Wow. And then that takes us full circle, right? From when we started talking about Droga.
Yeah, full circle. I did it. And
you did it.
I'm doing it.
So, I mean, I want to say I don't think you need 5 internships. Stress about that, right? You're a go-getter. It worked out for you. It's really, you know, it's not mandatory. And I'm sure Droga doesn't have a policy saying you need like 4 or 5 internships. Really, no agency has it. But you did it, and that's really cool. Mm-hmm. But to our listeners out there, that's not a requirement, right?
Yeah, it's not. It's not. I think it just... like kind of what you said, and you synthesized really well, like a strategist, I would say that it's just the willingness to put yourself out there and being nice to yourself, because, you know, we all know it's really hard to break into strategy and it can feel really hopeless and exhausting and you're reaching out to people and not reaping the rewards, but just continue to put yourself out there. And if you're really, really passionate about it, I know it will work out. And there are people like me and like Gino that that are rooting for you and are willing to like help you as well.
Yeah. And you sent over your resources to me. You will by the time we post this. So is there anything on the top of your head, like that you like to follow, a book you've read, a podcaster or influencer or, I don't know, a website that you really enjoy that keeps you knowledgeable that everybody should listen to or follow?
I'm like in the process of gathering, like okay, asking a bunch of people who like what they go to. Well, so
what do you go to? I want to know, like, what's on your, I don't know, what's something recent? Like if you pull up your phone, like what's an app that you have or something, a book by you, what's something that you really like? It doesn't even have to be advertising related.
I feel like the more random and non-advertising related can be sometimes the better.
Absolutely.
So I'm on TikTok, like most people, a lot. Sure. And that's where I get a lot of inspiration for like creative things. And I'm on YouTube, and I'm on, I don't know. I try to read interesting things. Started reading like Crying in H Mart, which is like really, really cool. And so I don't know. I think like try to do the weird things that inspire you, because you can always like connect it somehow, and you don't always have to like listen to the same, like you don't have to make advertising your entire life, like outside of advertising as well. It's helpful though. Like I think I myself want to subscribe to more, like go incognito mode for like ad week and ad age until I can't anymore, because I don't have a subscription, or like look at the drum and all those things. Like I think I'm gonna personally be doing more of that, because I think it could be helpful. But sure, like don't stress if you feel like you can't and aren't able to. But yeah, I think just like those are like the random things that I do outside. I'm still trying to figure it out. I do want to plug in my Mariel the Strategist Instagram, because that is where I'm doing my best to synthesize the things that I learn as a junior brand strategist and share my experience and advice for networking, for doing it competitive, for like just even affirmations and memes are on there too, and just like that's where I'm trying to do my best to help like our aspiring strategist community. So I'll have more like intelligent and pretty thoughts on there than right now.
I love that. I love anytime you can document your process as, you know, creative or whatever endeavor you're doing. If you document your process, you get over the imposter syndrome, you put content out there, nothing but great things can happen. Even though it might look, you might cringe at the beginning. Like I listen to my first episode every once in a while and I cringe like crazy, but I did it with my friend. So. Okay. What is it? Mariel the Strategist?
Yeah, it's my name, Mariel the Strategist.
Okay, we'll link to that. But that's all we got. Thank you so much. You're a success story, and I can't wait to see the great things you do in the rest of your career. So without any more questions, I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Gino.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you hear anything on this episode about a job you'd like to have someday, soon, in advertising, strategy, design? The kind of job where you use your brain and your creativity? If you did, chances are a portfolio can really help you get that job. That's where Chicago Portfolio School comes in. They have programs and classes that help you show off your thinking and get you the job you want. So visit them at chicagoportfolio.com. And if you drop my name, Gino, into the chat box, they'll send you more info and a cool Sharpie, or just some more info. You can decide that. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests and better break-ins if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn, and they want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Buchan Zhang, our creative director. Can't do without you two, and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz. They're a PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest.